Hello and welcome to Get Ready to Rock Radio from me, David Randall. When we prepare our special features and interviews, invariably we have material left over. And in July 2016, we chatted extensively to Mark King, frontman, founder member of the Jazz Funk to Poppers, that's Level 42, and covering a lot of ground from the band's beginnings in the early 1980s right up to date, and talking about the forthcoming October 2016 UK tour. In this next sequence, you'll hear more about Mark's bass playing style and also his solo album, starting off back in 1984 with the album Influences. We're going to start off the sequence with a track from their first Polydor album back in 1981, produced by the great Mike Vernon, and it's an instrumental track which demonstrates the band's great musicality, not least Mark's bass playing. This is Level 42 and Heathrow. Let's just go back to your bass playing, Mark, because we can't really leave it without delving a bit deeper. Because, you know, having told us that you were originally playing drums, and then it sounds like, in your own terms, you were sort of noodling around in a bedsit in London with, you know, with a changing lineup of the band. Now, what I find fascinating is that, you know, This was like the late 70s. There was no YouTube then. I mean, a lot of musicians now, they simply go onto, as you know, YouTube, and they'll copy and they'll study in depth various musicians. I mean, in your case, it might have been Larry Graham or whatever. But how on earth did you get this fantastic bass playing style at that time?
Oh, well, thank you for that. It just seemed like the right thing to do. You know, I mean, I was dead lucky because... Yeah. You know, that once again, I had Phil on drums, and Phil would, you know, he afforded me the space to do this, because, of course, I was still thinking of playing it like a drummer. So you get to the end of a phrase, and you'd want to do a fifth verse, or the, you know, to inter- vocal line or something. And that's very much a drummer's thing. And so I was trying to do that on the bass as well. And, you know, it takes a big man to be able to just sort of give you the space to do that. As indeed, of course, to Boone Gould on guitar, because there's so much going on from, you know, between the sequenced keyboards and the slapping bass. It's like you think, well, where am I going to stick a chord? Poor old Boone. I mean, you know, he's the real hero of the hour, because that saying sort of less is more is never truer, I think, than when you're trying to think of a good guitar part to play in level 42. But, you know, thank you for those kind words. The bass playing for me is, it's like playing a percussion instrument, you know, rather than sort of stand there. And of course, it's not just about, you know, slapping the bass. That's not only what I do. It's just that's what was right for the level 42 stuff. I've just come back. I've been 10 days in Milan working on a project with Stuart Copeland from Police, of course, and Adrian Ballou from everybody, really. You know, Frank Zappa, Talking Heads,
King Crimson,
yeah. David Bowie. And we just had a fantastic keyboard player called Vittorio Cosma, the only local in the band. And, you know, we've been working on a project called Gizmo. And when I started playing, you know, like I said, sort of 10 days ago or something, and I got in, I started laying the stuff down. You know, I had my trusty King bass with me, and I tried sort of slapping around, and it just wasn't right for this band was coming up with. And I ended up borrowing a 1968 Fender Jazz bass that Mauro, the studio owner, happened to have. He has this wonderful collection of vintage instruments, and it's just sounded great playing it with a plectrum, that real sort of throwback stuff. And it's great because then that afforded, I was laying the stuff down, and that afforded Stuart the room to do what Stuart Copeland does best. And Adrian Ballou, he could just take off and come up with all these weird and crazy guitar sounds. So you have to do, your job as the bass player is to do what's right for the song and do what's right for the music at that particular time. And it just so happened that the Level 42 stuff was a great vehicle for slap and tickle.
That's nicely put. And how about sustaining the playing in, say, for instance, a concert? I mean, we should say that the latest release also comes with a DVD. But is it fairly energetic? I mean, looking at the style of playing, I would say that, you know, at the end of a two-hour gig, let's say, do you feel the worse for wear?
I'm not getting any younger, if that's what you mean.
Well, no, I mean, in terms of the actual playing and the, for want of a better word, the muscularity of it, really. Do you find, well, Mark, it actually comes easier with, you know, over the years, it's actually got a lot easier for you, or are there limitations?
No, it's something that's what I do, and that's what I've done. And it's incredible how your body does respond to... It knows, you know, that there's this saying, I think, that athletes use. Not that I'm putting myself up as any kind of athlete, believe you me, that's far from the truth. But, you know, the whole muscle memory thing of, like, you play these songs, and it almost becomes like, auto. Your body knows where to go, and it knows how to do these things, and it knows how to pace itself. And, you know, an example of, say, the stamina that's required is, you know, that singing Lessons in Love, it's okay, you know, it's not a hard song to sing, but the bass line is pretty relentless, and it's that whole sort of skipping 16th pattern that goes through runs from start to finish. It's pretty relentless. It goes all the way through. And you know, when people say, oh, you know, that's just a pop song, tell us one of your harder songs, but funnily enough, that is one of the hardest ones to play and sing, because at least because it's like you tend to play it about sort of 90 minutes into the show as well, because it was our biggest hit. So it's always sort of stacked up somewhere down to the end of the show, you know?
And we should mention also in passing, because I think, again, these are albums that listeners can go in search of. In 1984, right in the middle of things, really, when Level 42 was really taking off, you released your first solo album, Influences. How did you manage to fit all that in, you know?
the funny thing is, it fitted itself in, because I'd, you know, like every other guy, I try and do as little as possible. It's, you know, I'm British, for goodness sake. So, you know, when when I got married and I had a kid in 1981, I really wanted to raise some money to, you know, get on the property ladder and get a mortgage and stuff. And Polydor Records, who we were signed to at the time, were fantastic. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, Mark, we'll give you an advance on a solo album. You know, if you can deliver us a single now and then, you know, deliver us this solo album, you know, within 3 years, that'd be brilliant. So, you know, like a good man that I am, I took the money, you know, gave them a single called, what was it called, Freedom, and then promptly forgot the album. And then come 1984, you know, you're supposed to have delivered us an album by now. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, because I was just trying to think ahead to the next Level 42 album, which was going to be the, what was it called? True Colours album, is what it went on to become. So I thought, oh, Lord, I better get in the studio. So, I, funnily enough, I booked myself back into Chipping Norton Studios, which is the one where I've worked with Mike Vernon in the beginning. I didn't have any songs. I had nothing in the drawer, nothing up the sleeve at all, because I've just been really busy with the Level stuff. And there's this ale that was made there called Hook Norton Ale. And one of the reasons that I loved going to Chipping Norton was they always had a barrel ready to go in the little sort of tea room just outside the studio. So I booked the studio, booked an engineer, and showed up, set some drums up, had 2 pints of Hook Norton beer, went in the corner, threw open the lid of... the organ that had been played by Tice Van Leer on the Focus Moving Waves album, and just jamming with myself. And that became the opening track, which is this thing called The Essential, and it's like a 20-minute sort of trip through anything that I could come up with, based on the idea of these just some of the sort of influences that I've had throughout my life.
Thank you.
fusion flavours, a little bit of prog in the mix as well, all sorts of influences stirring. That was from the debut solo album from Mark King, and it's the long track The Essential, the album released in 1984, called very appropriately Influences. And interesting on the liner note, all instruments on this album were recorded in real time, which makes a change these days. That's what it was like back then. We are chatting to Mark King from Level 42 and bonus material recorded in July 2016 as part of a special for Get Ready to Rock Radio.
And I really loved doing it. I have to say, I liked it. You know, I sort of did the whole thing in 2 weeks and made it all up as I went along, with the exception of the cover song on there. There was I Feel Free, which again was fitted in with the Influences thing, because it was my homage to Jack and Ginger and Eric, you know, as Cream, who I've always adored, and you know, my first favourite band too. So it seemed right to put that on there. And in two weeks, I finished this album, delivered it, and Pollard all sort of raised their eyebrows with them, thinking it was going to be a bit more Level 42 than it actually was. But it was nice because it allowed me to do things that weren't Level 42, you know, which is another side to... I mean, every musician has another side to them, I guess, and this was mine. I got the chance to play it live, actually, David, with most of the band that are out with me now. Level 42 these days actually is a seven-piece. We have a full brass section, and those guys can really play. And my sort of introduction to them was actually doing this solo thing. I did a week at Ronnie Scott's club in London. They asked if I'd like to go in, and I just wanted to play Mark King material. I thought, well, this would be an ideal opportunity to play some of the stuff off of Influences and off of another album I had called Trash. And yeah, it's good. There's a lot of music still around, I think. Yeah, still to come.
So that was in the past. Are you saying that you might do that again in the future? You know, solo.
I'm always sort of knocking the stuff up in the studio, and it always goes away. I mean, I mentioned this album Trash, that I'd made a second solo album in 1998 called One Man, and really the best thing to come from that particular thing is that the Eagle Records set up a website for me. And winding back then, I mean, everybody knows what websites are now, but back then this is all sort of quite new technology. No one was quite sure what you're supposed to do with it. But come 1999, I thought, well, if this is a direct way to actually get in touch with fans, you know, who've looked you up and, you know, want to sort of keep in touch with you, I just posted a message saying, look, I've got all of these demos and songs that I never finished, you know, that some were for Level 42, some were just myself. You know, they're only demos, are not finished. But if you'd like to hear them, I said, send me 15 quid and I'll put them onto a CDR for it. And I did, and that became the Trash album, which I called Volume 1, because there's quite a lot more trash on the shelves. I just sort of, once again, it's just kind of hard getting around to stringing it all together, because there's such a lot of things to do, you know. Not least, cut the lawn.
Yes, I should tell listeners that when we telephoned today... Mark was there cutting his lawn. Very nice image of a...
Well, it's like I said, I've been away. I've been in Milan for
this is it. These things you have to do. I mean, it reminds me of a comment that Colin Blunstone made on stage recently, where he said that he was involved in a really earnest conversation with his wife on tour, and it was all about watering the plants, you know.
Well, that's the thing, is that life has a great way of actually getting in the way.
It does.
You know, and like I said, I got home and it looked like Terry Waite's front yard, so I had to do something about it.
Going back to that limited edition you talked about, the solo album Trash, I mean, you were, in a sense, definitely a pioneer in that, you know, a sort of a cottage industry type thing.
Yeah, it was, and it still sort of carries on today, that we've got, you know, that I always got into the habit, when I realised that this was a good way reaching directly to your own fans, I made sure that then when I went out and toured it, I would film it and I'd record it, and then, you know, at the end of the tour or 6 months after the tour or whatever, I'd just sort of get it up online and say, look, you know, here was that, this is the last tour on film, if you want to, you know, send me, you know, tenor and you can have all the bits and pieces. And I've done that every time we go out on tour, which is something that Level goes out every couple of years. So I tend to sort of drop these these new things sort of in the years that we're not touring. We always do festivals, you know, that this is, as you said, this year we're going out in October, so this for us is a touring year. And no doubt I'll film it and record it again. And, you know, then next year when we're not out and people think we're a bit quiet, even though we're in the festivals and stuff, you know, there's something that just sort of keeps things ticking over.
Oh, no, it's a good idea. Well, let's go to 1987 and a big album for you and the band, Running in the Family, and let's play the track here, It's Over.
I won't be here when you come. Understand, forgive me if you can. But I can see another road, and I ain't coming back. Don't look for me around this town, 'cause I will be so far away you'll never find me anywhere.
the very fine It's Over, originally released in 1987 on the album Running in the Family, Level 42. And that's taken from a brand new compilation. You may have heard Mark talk in the special feature interview we ran in July 2016, chatting about Collected, which brings together all the singles over two CDs and a bonus disc of some of the remixes. Great way to get hold of some of these tracks. That's available via Universal. Once again, it's called Collected, Level 42. And the band are touring in the UK this coming October 2016, an extensive theatre tour. There's more information at the band's website, level42.com. And we do have a dedicated page for featured artists, Level 42, here at Get Ready to Rock Radio. That's at our website. And do keep an ear out in our playlists as we add in more Level 42. We do have a jazz fusion sequence at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday early morning. More information at our website in the programme schedule section. That's getreadytorockradio.com. We hope you've enjoyed this bonus material, and from me, David Randall, from all of us here at Get Ready to Rock Radio, thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Mark King of Level 42. Thank you so much for listening to our music on Get Ready to Rock Radio. We'll be right back.
Sometimes